I know that we've been asked to read through these kinos, and it's supposed to strike a chord inside each and every one of us. And I have to make an admission to everyone here that it hasn't been so effective for me. Last night, Rabbi Fourier said that the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av and the kinos is that we shed a tear. He spoke about people that shed cups of tears, and maybe I had one or two. It for me, it's hard to relate to these words as much as I tried. So I ask, how can we relate to these kinos? How can we relate to the experience of the loss of our temples? How can we bring this message home to each and every one of us today? And last night when I got home, like most people, or at least I'll just speak for myself, I opened up my email and I got an article from the Times of Israel. It's 12:15, Chevra. And I read about the very first fatality of the in Gaza since the war in 2014. And I hope each and every one of us can open our hearts and express our own sadness that we lost such a brave man. His name is Avi Levy. 21, brave soldier in the infantry. He fell defending our nation. He fell defending what our ancestors fought for. We didn't run away from our obligation to our people. Even Netanyahu spoke, the defense minister, wrote, Levy defended the nation, the land, and the residents of Gaza. My heart is with this family. We see miracles all the time, and we see tragedies, and we don't understand, and I'm not sure we ever will. This was a tragedy. This brought a tear to my eye, because it says in this article that Levy was wearing a bulletproof vest. And a sniper, a Hamas sniper, may our enemies be destroyed, was hit in the chest. And even though he had a bulletproof vest, he was initially listed as seriously wounded, but he died. When? Right before Shabbos. His girlfriend, who he was going to marry, posted that of Avi, that he was a fearless young man with whom she was planning a future, saying, my dearest love, my fighter. The heart burns and the tears don't stop. Who would have thought you'd been gone so quickly, she wrote. You were never scared, no matter what was in front of you, my Aviv. We had a million plans ahead of us, and we're counting the days we'd be together again. In 2 weeks, you have a birthday. And while I was making plans for a perfect birthday celebration, everything exploded. She says, I refuse to believe this is real. I refuse to believe you were gone. The article continues that Levy was the oldest of four siblings. His parents and two brothers were on a holiday in Italy when he was killed and flew back to Israel immediately. And as each and every one of us sits here, his funeral is going on right now at a cemetery in Petah Tikva. Here's a young man that won't return to his father and his mother. And there are many more Jews that didn't return to their father or their mother. And as a people, what will it take for us to return to our Father in heaven? I come from a family from Waco, Texas, that had to leave the Ukraine in 1904 because of the pogroms. And it wasn't really till about 5 years ago that I learned that my grandfather and great-grandfather came from Nezhin, close to Kiev. I shared this with Rabbi Gestetner, a Chabad rabbi, and he said, "Do you realize where you came from? This was the home and the burial place of the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Alter Rebbe." And he said, "What was your great-grandfather's name?" And I told him, "Dov Ber." He said, "That was the name of the Mittler Rebbe." My family came to the United States, the Promised Land. And like many Jews, and I can only speak for my own family, assimilated, sought the prosperity. My grandfather selling bananas, overripe bananas on the square of Waco to provide for his family and his five sons, started a business called Hoffman Banana Company. Always wanted to, I tried to buy the business, and I wanted the stationery to say, "Hoffman Banana Company, we have appeal." I'm standing here, and most of you that know me see me standing where Chaim is right now. Why? And you hear me saying Kaddish. You must be wondering, who am I saying Kaddish for? My friends, I'm saying Kaddish. I just counted the list recently. For 41 relatives and close friends who have no one to say Kaddish for them, because that's been the way of my family and my friends. No one. No children. They're away from their parents who passed as Jews with no one to say Kaddish for them. With that, I can fill a cup of tears. When we talk about the destruction of our holy temples, they were physical structures. We've heard other speakers speak about their stones and their mortar and their wood and what they contained, and we know why they were lost. We've been taught. Because of the three cardinal sins, stealing, murder, promiscuity. God decided that was enough. He saw enough of it. And he destroyed our structures. He didn't destroy us. And he hoped that with the second Beis HaMikdash that we would be able to change our ways. But we lost the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because of baseless hatred. Because of baseless hatred, talking Lashon Hara, judging other Jews. What kippah? No kippah? How wealthy? How much they give? Don't give? How they dress? What they learn? Don't learn? We talk about them. We lost at that temple. Why isn't the third temple built yet? So I want to give a little insight, veer away a little bit from the structures that we lost as temples. I think most of you know that I'm into personal development and help people with psychological issues. And it's said that the body is a temple. The body is a temple. We refer to the body as a temple. It's holy. We treat it like a holy temple. We observe mitzvot, we go to the mikvah, we treat it as a holy temple. And our vehicle, like the temple, was used to praise Hashem. We use our body to praise Hashem. We have tefillas. Through our mitzvahs, we're showing through Purim, through the Chagim, through Sukkot, we sit in a sukkah to praise Hashem. And the temple had offerings. Where are the offerings? The offerings are in our prayers. So what do we do with our bodies? Maybe that's a place to look. We don't have a temple to rebuild. I'm going to suggest an insight that it's time to rebuild our bodies. Our bodies. What are our bodies made of? Makshovas and masses. Our thoughts and our actions. Our thoughts and our actions. You know, every structure has a builder, has a designer, and has a builder. It isn't a coincidence that the very designer and builder of the first temple was who? Who built the first temple? Shlomo HaMelech. You know, when you buy an automobile, when you have one of these fancy iPhones, you look in the instruction sheet because the one who built it, the one who designed it, tells us what to do and how to use this structure. What about us? How are we going to use our structure? It's a coincidence that Shlomo HaMelech wrote Kohelis, which we read, Mutchag, Sukkos. And so listen to what he says about our bodies, our own temple. He says in chapter 2, and while I'm reading this, I have to ask myself the same question. I invite you to ask the same question. How are you following? How am I following these instructions? Am I, as it says here, I search with my heart how to cheer my body with wine till I see what was good. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself pools from which the water of the forest to grow them. I had great possessions of herds and flocks. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, kesef. Oh my God, this sounds like a lot like me. I became great and surpassed all who were before me. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Then I considered all the work that my hands had done and the toil I expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. So I turned to consider about my wisdom with madness and folly, and I said it to myself that also this was vanity. I hated all my toil, my work, that I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. This also was vanity. I don't know, I think Shlomo HaMelech knew my own life pursuits. Chasing, pursuing, using my eyes, not guarding my eyes. Accumulation. Taking on more. Being a leader, being the wisest. Graduated cumla laude from University of Texas. I was so wise. I have to ask myself, knowing what Shlomo HaMelech has taught me, am I really zoche to be a part, to see the temple in my time? Do we deserve the temple in our own time? Am I guilty of this? The same cardinal sins, the theft that I do, the baseless hatred, the murder, character assassination, the promiscuity. What am I looking at? What am I looking at my iPhone? Shtus? Sights that aren't exactly appropriate for my eyes? Am I worthy? Can we say to ourselves as we look on our iPhones or on our computers, as we conduct ourselves with people, with men, each of you in this congregation, my wife, and more? So what is in common with all these sins that took down our temples? You know what? In my opinion, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. The only reason we have baseless hatred is because I don't think that I've got enough. I want something that I don't have. Murder, theft, promiscuity, all to get my way. And when I don't get my way, when you don't do for me what I want you to do for me, or when I'm scared that I won't get my way, I'm going to go do something to get my way. And it'll probably be something I won't be very proud of. To get my way. Am I that important? Am I that deserving that I always have to get my way? How do I behave? How do I think? What are my thoughts? So, my friends, I believe the message, in order to return to our own temple, is to look at our own tithes, our own lusts, never satisfied, insensitive to the needs of others, wanting to be better than everyone else, and jealous when you have something that I don't have. So what can we do? What can we do today? We read the Kenos messages, profound messages, but what are we walking away from? Are we going to be worthy so the Levi Avi, Avi Levi, doesn't have to be murdered by Hamas? Iran with the ambitions to destroy us? Lebanon, Syria, our soldiers, your sons, if your sons are in the army, are defending our country. Those of us that are learning Torah are defending our country too. Is it going to work? It begins with us. It begins with us right now. We can change the course of history. We can turn the tide. We can merit the rebuilding of our temples. How? We turn our gaiva into a nava. Our arrogance into humility. Our chutzpah into yira. From disrespect to reverence. And from sheker to emes. From lies through truth to truthfulness. And it starts with me. And you know where it goes next? We treat our wives this way. Our children, we spread it throughout our entire family. Honesty, humility, respect to our community, to our brothers sitting here in this room, my brothers, each of us are brothers. Let's practice this. Let's practice humility. Let's get rid of our arrogance, or at least lower it. You know, and we can bring back the temple. Little old me? Little old me can bring back the temple, a magnificent structure. I can bring back the Shekhinah. I can bring back Mashiach. I can bring Mashiach. Yes. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. And where's our structure going to be built? Where's the temple going to be built? What's the evidence that this structure was ever built? The Kotel. There are Jews right now, davening, saying what we just said at the Kotel. Now, if you look at the structure of the Kotel, enormous, enormous stones, enormous bricks, and it goes up from there. The stones aren't quite as big. And you look up, the stones are even smaller until they become literally bricks. So my suggestion, my insight to each and every one of you, and each and every one of you have the opportunity to make a difference. We can be a brick. All you have to do is be a brick in this new structure. Even the martyr, something as useless, as seemingly worthless as mortar, is necessary to build a wall. Each and every one of us has that opportunity. Be a brick. Be a stone. This wall cannot survive without you. And so I'll leave you with a little tip. Something that helps me, guides me in the choices I make. Because it's about our machshovas and our masim. Should be masim tovim. Our thoughts should be good. Here's a little tool that I use. When something confronts me, something that happens to me that I don't expect or I don't want, isn't going my way, I ask two questions, and I'll leave you with this. Two questions. Who brought this to me? You know, because I'm so used to being so reactive. Something happens, something slaps me across the chest, you say something I don't expect, I react. Be responsive, not reactive. How? two questions. Who brought this to me? And if you pause, you'll think, who brought this to me? Who do you think brought this to me? Anything, Avi, A.B. Well, who brought this to me? God. And then the second question does it all. And what do you, with a capital Y, what do you want for me now? And I believe, my friends, that if you walk out of this room today and you're really serious about rebuilding the temple, if we continue to ask these two questions, who brought this to me and what do you want from me now? Who brought this to me and what do you want from me now? Our thoughts will be better, pure, more honesty, less arrogance. What do you want from me now? Our behaviors will be the same. God bless everybody. Let's celebrate being around the temple soon. Amen. Amen.